Log Talk Radio.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Hello, 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 and welcome. It's that time again. It's FSP Crew Showtime, and yes, I am your host, JT, as always, and I'm running solo for now. I think my co-host will be calling in shortly, but like I said, I'm JT, and this is the FSP Crew Show Thursday. It is January 19th. 2012, 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday before the playoffs. We got a nice show in store for you tonight. I'm going to be talking about the Ed Reed and LT Speaks Out. the Jets and Mark Sanchez. I'm also going to be talking about T.O., and I'm going to be talking about the playoffs. Yes, I'm talking about playoffs. They're talking about playoffs, absolutely. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. It's 347-637-3220. I also have a chat room that you like to converse with. You can sit down in front of your PC, pull up a brew, drink a glass of wine, get drunk. Want to talk a lot of junk to me? I can talk junk back to you also. So if you want to throw down in the chat room without actually talking to me on the phone, you can do that because I have the chat room open for you. Like I said, I wanted to talk about a few things, and let's talk about this. We got players. Everybody talks about Rex Ryan and how much Rex Ryan talks a lot of garbage and all this stuff. He's constantly talking. Well, let me tell you, people, from the time the season started, there has been players talking a lot of smack. Talking out things that would normally be kept in the locker room. Players are just blurting out anything, you know, dogging their teammates out, things like that. The latest thing we're going to talk about is what Ed Reed said. Now, Ed Reed, quite naturally, is an all-pro safety for the Baltimore Ravens. And he happens to be, in my opinion, and like a lot of other people's opinion, a future Hall of Famer. But Ed Reed, after the Ravens disposed of the Houston Texans last week in a playoff game, decided to talk about his quarterback for some reason on a radio show. Why? Who the hell knows? I don't know. He all of a sudden he blurted out, talked about his quarterback, and the problems with his quarterback. Can you explain to me why an all pro, and he's a seasoned veteran. It's not like he's been in the league for a short amount of time. He's been in the league for a time. He knows the protocol that what goes on in the locker room or opinions. Should be kept in the locker room. You don't call your quarterback out. Now let me for those that don't know, let me read an article from USA Today. Okay, so this is what the article by Robert Klemko of USA Today said. Okay. This is what he said. He said Ed Reed didn't like what he saw out of Ravens teammate Joe Flacco last weekend. and he's letting the Ravens quarterback hear about it through the media. Flacco completed 14 of 27 passes for measly 176 yards and was sacked five times in a 20-13 win over the Texans. Now, this is a quote from Ed Reed. "I think Joe was kind of rattled a little bit," Reed said on a Sirius XM NFL radio on Monday. "The Texans had a lot of guys in the box on him, and I mean they were getting to him. I think a couple of times he needed to get rid of the ball. It just didn't look like he had a hold of the offense." Now, Reed is 33. Reed, who's 33, sealed the win with an interception and a late deflection. Said Flacco, 27, must do better against the Patriots, who have the second worst pass defense in NFL history. This is another quote from Ed Reed. "He can't play like that," Reed said, describing a play when Flacco threw to a covered Ray Rice while Torrey Smith stood open along the sidelines. "I can't see that sitting on the sideline or sitting in the stands. I can see that sitting on the sideline or sitting in the stands. You don't know what someone else is seeing." Now, in a Wednesday's press conference, I'm all tongue-tied here because I'm so excited about this. This is crazy. Flacco brushed off the significance of the comments. He said, this is a quote from Flacco, "It was a little funny to me. I was a little caught off guard, but it is what it is, and it's not a big deal." And quite naturally, when two players are talked about or one player calls another player out in the media, quite naturally, the coach is going to get involved. And the coach said he had a conversation with Reeve about the situation. And this is a quote for John Harbaugh. "I understand where Ed's heart is at. I'm sure there are some things he would have said a little better. The message he was trying to communicate is," quote. So, I don't know what to tell you. All I know is that there's been some crazy things going on about players talking about each other in the media versus keeping it in-house. I have a response from Flacco, if I can find it. Oh, it's down here. Let me play this. It's about a little less than a minute. This was from a press conference a day or so ago.
But I mean, I was probably like, yeah, well, you know, what's going on? But like I said, we talked about it. You know, we're a team around here. It's not really that big of an issue. I don't really take things, you know, that bad. It is what it is.
How did you become aware of it? Who tipped you off that this is gone?
You guys aren't gonna let go, huh? Jeez. I mean, I wouldn't have seen it, but I was out eating dinner and happened to see Suggs on TV, and then saw it right after that. So.
How about the way Suggs and Ray Lewis have come to your defense? I mean, how appreciative are you of that? I mean, they've been very vocal, Joe.
I mean, I think, you know, that's the kind of team we are. I mean, I wish those guys didn't have to come to my defense on all kinds of things. I mean, I don't really think they have to, but the way things are talked about, it just makes it so that, you know, somebody has to come out and say something. And, you know, those guys, you know, Terrell all along, you know, he knows how to go out there and kind of,
you know,
stick up for all of us.
You know, I'm listening to that, and this is what I got to do. Because I got to believe Joe Flacco's a little pissed off at Ed Reed. I mean, he's blown it off like it was no big deal. But Flacco's been taking criticism, some flack, and he got a little irritated with the media a week or so ago, and now one of his teammates criticizes him on a win. On a win. It's not even a loss. On a win. He criticizes him on, I guess, his body language and the things that were going on in the game that he didn't like to see from his quarterback. So I don't know what to tell you. It is what it is. But I say I have to move on. You know, that's one of the things I want to say. Like I said, Ed Reed spoke out. Now, I have a clip. It's a 5-minute clip. LT speaks out about the dysfunctional Jets. Let me tell you something, people. I'm a diehard Jet fan. Been a diehard Jet fan for 40 years. 40 years. Since 1967. I'm 57 years old. 1957. So figure that out. That's 44 years I've been a Jet fan. Over half my life, or three quarters of my life, since I was 13 years old, I've been a Jet fan. Okay? And they've had their ups and downs. Everybody knows they have their ups and downs. Same old Jets. They did a lot of crazy things. Rex Ryan came on the scene 3 years ago. Boisterous, loud talking, talked a lot of smack. Backed it up the first 2 years. Said every year that we're going to the Super Bowl, said they had a Super Bowl winning team. We're going to win the Super Bowl this year. And wound up being an 8-8 team. Totally dysfunctional team. A lot of problems. The so-called captain, their wide receiver captain, pouted the last game and pretty much was railed by his teammates about him giving up. Now, how are you a professional football player and a captain of a team supposedly gave up because he wasn't getting his? Worrying about the team, and that reminds me of one of my favorite sayings. You know what it is. I shouldn't have to tell you. You know what it is. It's that one that I always like to go back to. It's this one. When I every time I hear about a player that it's all about him and not about the team, that brings me to this.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth, number one. Number two, we are not a charity. We cannot give them the game. That's number two. And number three is we execute from the very start of the game to the very end of the game. That did not happen. I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else, rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Now, what's Rex Ryan going to do? San Antonio Holmes pretty much supposedly gave up the last game, been a disruptive force in the locker room and on the sidelines of every game for a greater part of the season. Supposedly, and I'm going to play you the full interview that I had with LT, but Inside the NFL had. It's a 5-minute clip. I'm going to play the whole clip so you can hear the whole of what LT had to say about what was going on in the Jet locker room, because I didn't, and like no one else realized except for the players themselves, realized how bad it was in the locker room from about the third game on. So let me bring in one of my co-hosts, Black the Bookie, and then we'll proceed with the interview. What's up, my man?
What's going on, man?
Nothing much. You know, it is what it is. We're talking about the dysfunctional. I already talked about Ed Reed and how he spoke out and pretty much dogged out Joe Flacco, even in a win, dogged him out in the media. And I'm talking about everybody's been criticizing and dogging Rex Ryan for being boisterous and talking loud and talking a lot of smack. And since the beginning of the season, I reiterate what I was saying in the beginning of the show, since the beginning of the season, there's been one player after another. Doesn't make a difference what team, but there's been one player after another talking a lot of smack for one or talking out about a player on his team that either he, I don't know if he didn't like, or he's just saying that the guy's not pulling his weight. What do you think about all these players all of a sudden bringing things that's supposed to be in the locker room out to the light into the media?
I think these guys are trying to keep the Jets relevant. It's playoff time. I don't know why the Jets are still a topic here or anywhere else. I don't know why LT went on the NFL Network to speak Jets. We got an exciting playoff going on right now.
I honestly
care less about the JETS Jets.
My
team isn't in the playoffs. We want to get down to the heart of the matter. He called out Flacco. Flacco didn't have a good game. We'll see what Flacco does this weekend in New England. But why are the Jets still being brought up?
The reason I'm saying this is not just because of the Jets, but because of it seemed like week after week there is a player, I don't care who it is from what team, seemed like he's talking out in the media about things that should be kept in the locker room. To me, this is something new that's been coming on, I guess, this year or in the last few years, that instead of keeping things in the locker room, players are bringing it out into the light to the media, talking about it, and like they don't care. I mean, but putting themselves in front of the team more or less when they start talking about their teammates. That's what I'm talking about. What do you think about that? Not just the Jets. I'm talking about players in general that seem like it they're talking more than they should. Than just keep it in the locker room. What do you think about that?
Well, everybody has a right to free speech, my friend. You know that a lot of guys are not going to keep things in the locker room if they're having a certain beef or if they don't get along with guys. They'll make that type of stuff public. It shouldn't be. Your coach should have a handle on that, but he doesn't. So this is what happens.
Okay. I want to play this clip because there's a lot of stuff that I didn't know. I want to play this clip that LT had, and I also have a clip. I already played the Joe Flacco response to Ed Reed, but besides that, I want to get into a couple other things before we get into the playoffs. So let me play this clip, and then we can come back and talk about it. Where is it at here? It's down here.
Give us some insight inside the Jets locker room.
You guys know who've been in locker rooms. You know there's always going to be times where guys just don't get along.
Mm.
You know, but a lot of times it's up to the players to police that for the most part until it gets out of hand. Then the coaches need to step in and handle different situations.
Did it get out of hand?
It got out of hand toward the end of the season.
Okay.
That's why it got out in the media. This is something that happened, you know, third, fourth week of the season that was going on, and nobody knew about it because the players kept it under wraps.
Mm-hmm.
Until we went on that losing streak, guys started to speak up and speak out about certain things.
Well, let's get right down to it because Mark Sanchez has kind of been the lightning rod for that team. A lot of players apparently don't think he should be the guy or giving the kind of responsibility that he was given on that team. Santonio Holmes, the last game of the season, was taken out of the game, basically stirring it up in your own huddle. You had some comments after that game. How bad was it, and can it be fixed with those two?
It's as bad as I've ever been around, honestly. And I've been around some locker rooms and quarterback or receiver situation and whatnot, but it was as bad as I've been around. You know, it was at the point where I think the players could no longer do anything about it. There was nothing that the players could do, you know. And so when it gets to that point, there are certain changes that need to happen. Can it be fixed, Chris? I think absolutely it can be.
How so?
They're going to have to make some tough decisions.
In terms of getting rid of some players?
Because, guys, think about this. You know, they created this. You know, that's the type of football team that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike Tannenbaum, Rex Ryan, a brash, in-your-face type of style. Say whatever you want. Just get it done on the field. And it leads to other things as guys calling each other out and saying I'm not getting the ball or whatever it may be.
Let me turn over the big boy in a minute here, but can Sanchez overcome this? I mean, is there enough confidence in this guy that he can get it done?
I think he can overcome it. I think, you know, there was a guy that said, came out, I don't know who it was, that said Sanchez was lazy, but I disagree with that.
Mm.
The guy's not lazy, guys. Mm. He's not a lazy guy. He puts in the time after practice, you know, in the film room. He can get it done. He just have to have pieces around him to help him get it done.
Okay, not lazy, but is he pampered?
Yes, he is. I would say a bit pampered, you know, because he has no competition. He has no real threat to say this guy may take my job.
If you're the general manager, do you bring both Sanchez and Holmes back?
Ooh, that's a tough one. You know, I would really have to sit down with them guys and see if they can coexist, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a decision that I really have to make. And if I really feel like they can't, you know, then you have to make a move.
You guys go back-to-back seasons to the championship game, and yet the decision was made in the offseason. You know, the running game defense, that's all great, but the missing piece of the puzzle, the missing link is this passing game. And we're going to make Mark Sanchez this drop-back passer, and we're going to be more of a wide-open offense. In retrospect, a mistake?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, and so, you know, the team that was coming off two straight AFC championship games relied heavily on the run. You know, my opinion now, why would you just totally switch up, you know, your identity, you know, at that point?
Okay. Big boy, go ahead.
Do you agree with the direction in which the Jets are going now? With that brash in your face, that style that Rex and Tannenbaum like,
well,
the team they built?
I think it can be effective, you know, because there are certain guys that you have to have on your team if you're going to be that way. There, you know it. If you're going to be that way, you better have certain you better have some bad guys on
your
team that just don't care, you know, about certain things, that speak up and say certain things. You know, but if you're not going to be that team, you know, if you don't have that personnel for that team, you can't do it. You can't be that team.
And that's who the...
I'll cut it short. Those are some pretty strong words from LT, in my opinion, to be talking about that. I know he's not going to be coming back with the team, but it seems like it's like a Frankenstein. They created their own monster. It sounded like they got full of themselves, thought they were more than what they were, and it came and bite them in the face because the pieces don't seem like they're meshing as well as they thought they would. You got any comment, Black?
Hey, they tried to create something that wasn't there.
Yeah.
You got to have chemistry in that locker room. I mean, look what's going on with my team right now. Even though they got a big win last night, talking about the Wizards here, you got to have a certain chemistry. If people are used to winning, people are used to playing together, there's no I in team. It seems like you got a lot of I people in your organization.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's we'll briefly talk about that. You know what? I'll wait because we're talking about football now. So we can talk about that in a little bit. And on that front, there was another Associated Press article about whether if Peyton Manning became available, would Woody Johnson, who was asked, would they pursue, which is, you know, if it's a healthy Peyton Manning, and in light of what happened, getting rid of the Polian duo, along with the now the head coach and the defensive and offensive coordinator, if I'm not mistaken, are not there any longer either. So that's pretty much a house cleaning. Black, they had the first round pick. We're going back and forth. We're probably going to be talking about this over and over and over again. Peyton Manning, you think Peyton Manning is going to be a Indianapolis Colt come the draft? Let me put it that way. Come the April draft. You think he's going to be an Indianapolis Colt?
I think Peyton Manning is gone before the draft. He's due that roster bonus when? In March?
His roster bonus is due the 8th of March, and that's
I think he'll be gone by then. And now I have Mel Kiper also confirming that the Redskins could possibly be interested once he hits the market. So if your Jets are in the running, they need to make a move.
Well, I heard, and this is what I heard. I heard that Daniel Snyder will open the purse strings up full bore to get Peyton Manning if he comes available on the market. Supposedly, he's not going to be outbid if there's a healthy Peyton Manning released or traded or whatever, more likely released, that he's going to go hot and heavy to try to get Peyton Manning.
Well, if he's going to open the purse strings up, he needs to keep it open and sign about four linemen as well, because you need to keep Peyton Manning upright. And signing up Peyton Manning is not going to cut it with that offensive line down there in Washington.
Well, my question is this, and we'll just go off the subject a minute. The offensive line for the Washington Redskins, is it an old or a young line? And does it, if it's a young line, does it have ability to be better, or is it a line that needs more pieces?
It's a mixture of young and old. To me, in my eyes, it's a line that needs more pieces. You want to work Shanahan's run scheme. That's cool. But you need, excuse me. You also need guys who can pass block. I mean, basically, this is a run blocking line. They
right.
don't pass block very well, so you'll need to find that combination mix of a guy who can roll grade very well, but also can at least save about 3, 4, maybe 5 seconds for the quarterback to get the ball off. If you have Peyton Manning, you need to protect Peyton Manning at all costs. Peyton Manning is not a scrambler. You send those blitzes up the middle on the outside. The only thing Peyton Manning can do is throw the ball away. And we got to see if his reflexes are even quick enough for him to even throw the ball. I mean, we still don't know if Manning can throw touch passes, if he can go deep. No one knows right now. Of course, he can get a clean bill of health. But once he takes that field and starts throwing the ball, you don't know if there's nerve damage going down into that arm. You don't know what's going on.
And how long he can sustain that, if he can sustain it for a 16-game
exactly.
season. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of unanswered questions. How about what you heard? I don't know if you heard this. The actor Rob Lowe said he had some inside information from the Indianapolis Colts that the Peyton Manning was going to retire, and it was like in the last couple of days. Did you hear that?
Oh, I didn't hear that, but that is very interesting if he does, because that means that feeling is not back in that arm. The neck could be healed, but anytime you mess with nerves in the body, that's a very, very tricky thing.
And ladies and gents, what the heck's going on here? Why can't I bring him? There he is. Ladies and gents, we have our other co-host, Jeff the Joker. Talk to me, Jeff.
Hello, gentlemen, listeners. Sorry to be tardy, but here I am. What have you gentlemen discussed so far?
Well, we talked about Ed Reed and dogging out Joe Flacco. We talked about LT dogging out the Jets and the probability. And I also talked about how players seem like they're more apt to talk about their teammates or the team negatively in the media more than they have in the past. I want to get your take on that, not only all the other stuff, but your take on all these players. It seems like more and more of these players, like I told Black, are talking more and more negatively about their team to the media, rather than keep it in-house like it used to be. What do you think about that?
I'm tired of it. And you know, with your close friends, with your family, if you're lucky, you have decent coworkers, you know, you don't put your business in the street, you know. But let's say someone like Santonio Holmes, I mean, what he did was really beyond, you know. And you get tired of it as a fan. It's like, enough with the BS and the talking already. But, you know, not that I enjoy it, but on the other side, because the other extreme, because players and coaches need to be so careful in interviews the way they ask the questions, it's almost like they're trying to bait them. Some interviews can be incredibly boring because they really can't say anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, give you an example. Good example, Eli Manning, you know. I mean, I like Eli, good quarterback, good solid guy. Need I continue? And you know, he's not a guy who criticizes teammates. In fact, I mean, he's kept his mouth shut times when he was getting criticism where it might even have been justified. But, you know, some of these interviews with Eli, let's say if the defense is playing lousy, they'll always ask him about it. It's like, oh, how do you feel about the defense's performance? He can't answer that. You know, he can't say, oh, they played like poop, and the offense is tired of carrying those bums and blah, blah, blah. He can't. So, of course, he's going to say the usual, oh, well, they had a couple of tough games, but they're still a good unit. We're still a team, and they're going to pick it up and blah, 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 you know. And one question after another is like that, you know. He doesn't speak ill of the opponents, and it's just one cliche, one boring cliche after another, you know. It's very tough to be a good interview and still say something. That's difficult. It's easy to say nothing. It's easy to be outspoken, but it's tough to ride the fine line, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking out, there's another guy, I wouldn't say he's a former player, but another player that's been in news recently. I'm talking about my quarterback. We're talking about Terrell Owens resurfaces in the indoor, and I've never, ever heard of this league. It's the Indoor Football League, and I'm going to read an article from USA Today by Tom Weir. If the latest chapter of Terrell Owens' career were a movie, we'd title it Requiem for a Wide Receiver. But it's real life, and T.O. really is taking what's left of his talents to the Indoor Football League. Owens announced on Twitter and via a video that he would play for and also be a part owner of the Allen Wranglers of the Indoor Football League. Allen is a Dallas suburb, and the IFL is a 16-team league in mostly middling markets. That's a significant drop in status for the man who ranks number 2 all-time in the NFL for receiving yards. The 37-year-old T.O. missed all of the NFL season after suffering a torn ACL, but announced on a video that, uh-oh, it's official, it just went down, I'm headed back to Texas. That's right, IFL, here I come. Allen, Texas, here I come. I'm going to be me, Allen, Texas. I'll see you in the end zone. Now, you know, there's been reports of T.O. Supposedly delinquent on his child support payments and supposedly in some financial distress. I'm going to go to Jeff first and then Black, because Black had the Texas team. So I'm going to go to Jeff first and then to Black to ask this question.
We were talking about this, you know, deal when it was pending. I think it was a couple weeks ago. And mm-hmm. My take was there's got to be some kind of angle for T.O., reality show tie-in or something like that. And the angle is he's now going to be a part owner of the team, which some leagues don't allow that. So that's the angle. Coincidentally, I used to be a pretty big arena football league, which is a brand name. I was a big arena fan. And there are other indoor football leagues besides the arena league. There's many, actually, and there have been many to come and go. And the IFL is one of them. Most of the teams are based in Texas. Quality of play isn't as good as the Arena League, but some of these guys move up to the Arena League and eventually to the NFL. Fred Jackson played in one of those minor indoor leagues, and there have been some others. And, you know, there's rule differences, et cetera, et cetera. But there's these indoor leagues all over. I used to go to Morristown, New Jersey, to see a team in the Continental Indoor Football League, which no longer exists. And I believe retired Cowboy great Drew Pearson, I think, is an owner of this Allen team. And Drew Pearson has been successful in business, I think mostly with sports merchandise, like, you know, hats and stuff, licensed merchandise, since his retirement. So he's done well career-wise, you know, which you like to hear, that retired athletes are doing well and not having trouble. But, yeah, I guess he struck a deal with Drew Pearson. And the thing that I found interesting in the article I saw, that T.O. might not go to the road games, which I thought was odd. Even
that
if he's
odd.
A co-owner. I mean, why wouldn't he go to the road games? I wonder how much of the team he owns, and I guess he'll get a piece. You know, these teams, the reason the Arena League has stuck around so long, they don't lose a lot of money, but the problem is they also don't earn a lot of money. the Allen Wranglers play, I think, in a 6,000-seat arena. They're not playing in major league arenas. Tickets are usually cheap, let's say. In that place, I doubt the tickets are more than $15, probably closer to $10.
Right.
They, you know, in the minor leagues, they might get literally a few bucks for local TV, maybe a couple bucks for radio, a few sponsors, but they don't generate much money, but the players get between $200 to $500 a week, except for T.O. and sometimes that's based on whether you win or lose, which keeps it interesting when a guy's going to get twice as much if his team wins. And in most of these leagues, most of the guys have day jobs. You know, they tell you, though, they take a lot of hard hits for a few bucks, you know. They must really love it, you know. And I've seen some good indoor games, you know. I like it. Like, you know, to me, football should be 12 months of the year. I'm not a big baseball fan. So in the spring, you know, I'm looking for indoor action.
Okay. Black, what do you think about this, Mr.?
The greatest move ever that T.O. can make. Couldn't latch on with the NFL team. They're going to go play football, go with the indoor league. They're not going to play the indoor league in Buffalo. They're not going to play the indoor league in Cincinnati. You might play an indoor league in Philly. But why not go where you had the most success? You played in Dallas. Check out the indoor league. You have an established fan base there. You're a part owner, along with being a player, so you get paid two ways. 3,000 doesn't seem like a lot, but they'll sell that place out every time he plays. It's a good move all around.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just surprised that a big-name player, like I said, who's number two in all-time in NFL receiving yards, who was a beast, I'm surprised that he's doing that. And I got somebody in the chat room called Caliwood, says T.O. playing himself. So that's possible. Let me just answer this guy real quick. Let's move on.
If he's behind on payments, he has to do what he has to do. Especially
that's
if
right.
Money's running dry.
Yep, and he makes his money off his body, so we'll see. Anyway, let's move on. We got about 20 minutes left in the show. As everyone knows who's watched the playoffs last week, the Broncos got handed their butt to them by the Patriots. The Ravens in a hard-fought game that if they had a decent quarterback, I think the Ravens would not be moving on. The Texans would, but they had a rookie, so the rookie performed like I had said on my show on Sunday, that it's going to come down to quarterbacks, and it came down to the quarterbacks, and Joe Flacco just did just enough to win. T.J. Yates did just enough to lose, so they lost. But the two biggest surprises to me over the weekend was the two games. One happened on Saturday, one happened on Sunday. I know Jeff is happy about this, and all I got to say, these two teams surprised me. And it reminded me of this.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. The heavyweight champion is taking the mandatory eight count. And
that's all I got to say. Two heavyweights in the league in offense. Two of the most prolific offenses in the league. The New Orleans Saints get beat down, physically beat down by the 49ers. Even though it was a close game, that was a very physical game. And the Green Bay Packers handed in Green Bay a surprising, easy win for the G-men, 37-20. All I got to say is I'm surprised, especially surprised with the win in. In San Francisco, I'm a little surprised.
Why were you surprised at that?
What
did the bookie tell you about that game?
I understand.
I gave you a 4-point spread. I told you this would be a redemption game for Vernon Davis, which it was. In the playoffs, defense counts. You have a lot of nice gimmicks during the 16 weeks that you play to get into the playoffs. But once you're there, you got to play hard and those defense. And that's what those two teams like.
That's true. That's true. The Saints didn't play that well on the road either. So, hold on a minute. Let me just write this here. But San Francisco came out and said that if you want to win this game, you got to out-physical us, and that just wasn't going to happen. So they knocked out they knocked out Jimmy Graham, and they knocked out Pierre Thomas, which changed their game plan a little bit. They couldn't do what they really wanted to do with the running backs, with the two or three headed monster they had running backs. I have to hand it to Alex Smith. He performed well, especially in the clutch. We'll see if he can carry it over against the G-men. That's going to happen this weekend on Sunday, which is the NFC Conference Championship. And the other loss that surprised me. Giants played very well. The Packers played very bad. One of their worst, in fact, their worst game they played all year. The combination of two is not a good combination, especially like the Saints. They turned the ball over quite a bit. Jeff, I want you to comment on what you saw. I know you saw this whole game. Give me your synopsis of the game and your opinion of it.
You know, a lot of times it's not just in the NFL. It's not just about who you play. It's when you play them. Giants are red hot smoking. Packers, as great as that offense, and I say that offense, not that team, as great as that offense is, they've cooled off. Giants are one of the few teams in the league who, you know, if guys are healthy and they're playing well, they can put pressure on a quarterback with four guys they don't have to blitz a lot, and with their defensive backs, they really gamble a lot if they blitz a lot of guys. You know, Eli is a good big game quarterback. He had a very good game. He's been great all year. If it wasn't for the ridiculous numbers of Brady, Breeze, and Rodgers, you know, Eli has practically had an MVP type season. Giants were able, you know, they not only did play good defense, in particular, they got the turnovers, which the Packers are usually win the turnover battle, so that was huge. And it wasn't until the second half, but the Giants were able to establish a running game. That's going to be a lot tougher against San Francisco. Not only did the Giants beat the Packers, they beat the refs too, because there were two atrocious calls in that game. The roughing call, Umanura on Rodgers, as bad as that was, it's not a reviewable call. But the Jennings fumble, that was on a review. That was an NDA type call. That was horrible.
Black?
Hey, Eli is on a mission to prove that he is an elite quarterback in this league. Definitely shown it in these past two games. Giants look strong, man, but I love the linebacker for the 49ers. Giants can get pressure on him with that front four, which is a beautiful luxury to have. But I'm still not sold on those corners, though. San Francisco doesn't have a big threat of wide out. To me, Vernon Davis is their biggest offensive threat as far as catching the ball. This is a tough game for me to even pick, but I like the Niners.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, we'll get into the picks or whatever. I just wanted to get an opinion on the Packers and the Giants, the pass game.
The Packers. I mean, come on, that was hard for the Packers. You had an emotional week, the offensive coordinator, son goes missing. You attend the funeral Friday, and you have a big playoff game Sunday. All the combination of that whirlwind of emotion every day, that took control in that game, plus the fact it was 19 degrees. And guys were dropping a lot of passes.
Yeah, there was a combination of a lot of things that were going wrong for the home team in that game. But I'm not going to discount what happened with the play of the Giants, because they they came to play and they were very physical in that. They were very physical.
They said they were going to beat Green Bay. They went to Green Bay and backed it up.
So true, so true. All right. As people out there know, number calling is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. We did have one guy in the chat room, Caliwood. Seems like he had a few comments about the Giants, 49ers, and the Saints, and now he's gone. What I want to do now, we got about 10 minutes left in the show, give or take. Let's talk about the first game on the agenda on Sunday. We're talking about the New England Patriots hosting the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore has been to New England before a few years ago. They handed New England a very bad loss, very good for Baltimore, very bad for New England. Wes Welker was not in that game. I don't think. In fact, the two tight ends weren't in that game. I wouldn't say it's a completely different Patriot team. Their defense is probably weaker than it was in that playoff game, but their offense is probably stronger than it was in that playoff game. As Eli Manning is playing lights out, so is Tom Brady. I want to get some opinion on how do you guys think this game is going to go for once? And the other thing I want to ask is, what is the outcome of this? Do you think the Patriots are going to win this game, or they're favored by 9 points, if I'm not mistaken? Do you think they're going to win this game, or do you think Baltimore is going to do a deja vu on them and come up with a win and finally get to the Super Bowl again? I'll go to Jeff and then Black.
You know, part of it is gut, but part of it is, you know, facts. I definitely favor New England. You know, Brady's red hot as opposed to Flacco, who's not a bum, but he's not the same caliber as Brady. The Patriots defense isn't highly rated, but sometimes that can be misleading because some teams who frequently get big leads will play soft in the second half, and the opponents will rack up some yards and maybe some meaningless touchdowns. And, you know, it's the end of the year, and teams don't hold anything back, and you wonder what Belichick has up his sleeve. And, you know, Baltimore's very solid, but maybe getting a little old on defense and not a great passing game. And I don't know. I'm feeling New England.
Black?
There's any time that Baltimore can get New England, it should be right now. Yeah, the defense played better, but they played some people last year. I know he was the hot thing going into the playoffs, but he's not a complete quarterback. Flacco has a chance to shut down his naysayers. I want to tell you one. You better get a heavy dose of Torrey Smith, and you better get Ed Dixon involved in this ballgame if you plan to win it. I think the Ravens' defense will be enough. It's going to be hard to deal with Hernandez and Gronkowski, but I think the Ravens, if Ed Reed is fully healthy, I think they can sneak into New England and pull off an upset.
Well, my question I pose to you guys, do you think because the how strong the offense is and how quick striking Brady and those tight ends and that offense can be, that you think they didn't do it last week because the defense was a little stiffer, but Ray Rice, do you think there's going to be a heavy dose of Ray Rice in this game? In my opinion, there should be, but I want to get your guys' opinion.
There definitely will be a heavy dose of Ray Rice because you want to keep Brady off the field. And when he's on the field, you want to bring the pain to Tom Brady. So, believe me, Ray Lewis, Terrell says, if they hit Brady enough, you know, Brady gets fired quickly if you hit him enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be the game plan for Baltimore going in.
Okay. Hey, you, Jeff, what do you think? You've been the high point getter in the playoff challenge. You've been tearing it up in the playoff challenge. I want to get an opinion because it seems like you are pretty in tune on how to rack up some points in fantasy, whether it's this playoff challenge or in a fantasy league.
Thank you for bringing that up, Jerry.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, Jerry.
Yeah,
I've only played 1 week, and I've forgotten all about it because of this fantasy basketball.
Okay.
I mean, New England defense is going to see more Rice than Uncle Ben. The only issue could be if New England can jump out to a lead, then Baltimore's going to have to throw more. And when Flacco has to throw more than 30 times, it really cuts down on the chances of the Ravens winning. But, yeah, you know, the fantasy postseason leagues are a different animal, and I don't want to reveal all my strategies. Because, you know, I play the same leagues as you got. Yeah, pretty soon this podcast will be like, you know, three of us being like, well, I can't say this, I can't say that. But the thing is, you can't give away everything. But postseason leagues, it's a whole different animal, different strategies, different everything. A lot goes out the window. And I wish the postseason leagues were more popular, but I think one of the reasons why is there's about 100 different formats. There's no definitive format, but it's all good fun, and it keeps the fantasy party going for another 5 weeks or so.
Okay. Well, I wanted to play this before we talked about this game. So let me play this. It's 30 seconds. This is apropos to these two teams playing.
2 men injured, 1 man lead. 2 men injured, 1 man lead.
If no one knows where that's from, that's Beyond Thunderdome. That's oh my God, I can't believe Tina Turner in there and Mel Gibson. So that's where that came from. 2 men enter, 1 man leaves. 2 teams enter this game. One's coming out and going to the Super Bowl. This game is going to be. To me, this game is going to be a very physical game. Somebody in this game this game's going to be so hard. Somebody in this game is going to be doing this.
You got knocked the fuck out.
Somebody's going to get hit hard in this game, and just like in the other game, they're going to knock somebody out because these two teams are probably the two most physical teams. I don't think the Ravens are as physical as these two defenses are left in the playoffs. And they're going head-to-head against each other. I want Jeff, we got about 2 minutes left in the show. We can go a little over, no problem. I'm going to wait for you. I want Black to give me your prediction in this game, your opinion in this game, and give me your prediction in this game. Giants, 49ers.
Giants and 49ers. Man, it's hard to go against Eli right now. I want to see the young Harbaugh do it in his first year coaching, get him all the way to a Super Bowl. But it's hard against hard. It's hard. Hard, hard, hard. Made a pick against Eli at this time. Especially with Carlton and that defensive front playing the way it is. I think I'll take the Giants.
All right, Jeff, this is your team going against one of the best defenses in the league, and I'm not discounting the Giants' defense. This is going to be a hard-hitting game, like I said before. Give me your preview and give me your opinion, unbiased opinion, Jeff.
Okay, I'll try. I have enormous respect for the 49ers' defense, especially considering the rule changes for them. To play like they've played this season is unreal. And I think, and Black brought this up before, I like the fact that in the playoffs, it's shown that defense still matters in the NFL.
Right.
You know, of course, Giants did not run the ball well for most of this year. Recently, they, with Jacobs and Bradshaw healthy, they've run it better. They think they're going to run it on San Francisco. They got another thing coming because they really shut down the run. Giants are going to have to establish the pass. I hope the field is in good shape. I think they've been getting a lot of rain out there, and the field there can get real sloppy. And the field sloppy, my man Victor Cruz might not be able to get his groove on. He's a local guy from New Jersey, so the Giants fans got a lot of love for him. I mean, the 49ers offense is not super terrific. I think they've been trying to rest Frank Gore for the playoffs, but you know, that offense doesn't scare me too much. it's hard to pick against the Giants.
Well, you know, I've been going back and forth. I really like the Ravens against the Patriots, and I've been going back and forth with the Giants and the 49ers. I don't know. This is an even pick'em game to me. It can go any way. Turnovers, quite naturally, have been key in the playoffs. Has been obvious, and I think turnovers are going to be obviously key in this game. I think at least one turnover we can decide this game as closely matched these two teams are. I would have to go. Damn, I would have to go if push comes to shove, and I was pressed up against the wall and asked for an opinion. My inclination is always to go with the home team. Because I think they have an advantage, even though in this game.
Let's not press you up against the wall. Let's put you on the plane and drop you in Las Vegas and put you in front of the big board. You see, the 49ers are favored by 2.5.
I understand that. And I think the 49ers can win this game due to the fact that if they're home field, it's supposed to be a sloppy field because it's supposed to rain, I think, for the next 3 days. And who knows their field better than the home team? So I would think the 49ers would have the advantage, and I would have to go with the 49ers for that reason. But I think the Ravens have the defense to give the Patriots problems, and I would have a tendency to go with the Patriots. I can't believe the line is either 9 or 6 or whatever it is. I think
the Patriots are favored by 7 right now.
7 by a touchdown. I think the Ravens give Tom Brady a fit with their blitz packages and their defensive fronts. So I would have to go with I know the revenge factor, but I think the Ravens are out to prove a point. And I think it's going to be a Harbaugh, which would be a hell of a storyline, a Harbaugh Super Bowl. Two brothers facing each other. That's never been done, and it's a strong possibility it could happen this week. I mean, this year, I should say, this Super Bowl. Well, anyway, we come to the close of our FSP crew show. I have my two co-hosts, Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie. We'll be back here next week. Same time, same place, with the same cast of characters. Talking about what took place in this on this up and coming weekend, and getting ready for the 2 weeks of Super Bowl hype for the big game. With that being said, let's go to Black first, and then Jeff for your closing remarks.
Well, I think I've been in a fantastic mood. I'm back on my gym grind, so you know I'm feeling real good. And I come into work yesterday, and I'm there at work, and then I look, check the TV, to see that my Washington Wizards defeated the best team in the league, the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm so excited. Hopefully the Wizards can try to make it 2 games in a row when they take on the Nuggets tomorrow, but that's not a reality, people. I don't know. Just try to stick with the Wizards. It's a rough season. We're 2-12 right now. All my area folks are listening. If the guys can bring that type of effort every night, we'll have a good team. But it's just not working right now, man. So I'll see you guys next week. Enjoy the playoffs this weekend.
Jeff?
Just a little more on the Giants. They really shut down JerMichael Finley on Sunday. I'm hoping they can do the same to Vernon Davis. And, you know, one of the guys doing the job was Deion Grant, and it's nice to see, you know, a quality veteran like him playing well because, you know, everybody talks about the stars, but you need the guys like Deion Grant to step up if you're going to win. Reminds me, one of the leaders of the last Giants Super Bowl team was Sam Madison, and he's not the first name that comes to mind, but he was –
one of the leaders of that team and made some big plays. So,
okay.
Catch you all next week.
With that being said, I am JT, and along with my two co-hosts, Jeff the Joker and Black the Bookie, I want to thank all you people for listening. You can catch us if you missed any part of the show on the archives. Tune in next week, 8 to 9, when we start a new show. Also, there's a show at 1 o'clock to 2:30 on Saturday, which is the FSP show, The Mothership, hosted by Vic Gardner and co-hosted by myself and Black. And then also the Master Plan. We're going to be fine-tuning any kind of last-minute things that are happening before the two playoff games start. Any other sports news and notes, which is 1 o'clock, excuse me, which is 10 to 11 on Sunday morning. Until then, we'll talk to you guys later. Thank you guys for joining us. Good show. And as usual, you've been listening to the...
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore, Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics, ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on.